I'm glad he passed by my way. Saved my soul. The girls, our salvation is not based on feelings. Our hope's not based on how we feel when we wake up in the morning. But I'm glad to report to you this morning, when there's a God that created this world, when he comes and lives inside of you, it feels good. It feels good to know that I can lay my head down at night knowing I'm in right standing with the thrice holy God. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Gospel of John. John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the third day was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man that beginning doeth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then the which was worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the word of God. We want to thank you, Father, for your presence. We want to thank you, Father, for your touch upon the song service for our young people. God, we want to thank you for everyone that's in the sanctuary or listening by the way of internet. Lord, you know our needs this morning. And Father, our greatest need is a relationship with you and in experiencing your glory. Father, I pray that you would have your way, Father, in the service. Lord, I pray that you'd melt those hard hearts. I pray, Father, you would warm the cold saint. And Father, I pray, God, that you would draw and compel and convict us to you. We love you this morning because you first loved us. We thank you for all your many blessings. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In John chapter 2, we find in our text that Jesus, Mary, and 6 of his disciples have come to this land of Canaan. What a God that would leave the portals of heaven and come to a wedding. What a Savior we serve this morning that it's in heaven, but he wants to fellowship and commune with you and I this morning. It's unlikely that Jesus was invited to the wedding because he was popular, or because he was well known at this time. You see, this is his first miracle, and he was come from obscurity in a small Nazareth town. He would not been well known or popular due at this point in his ministry. He hadn't performed any miracles. He hasn't raised the dead or caused the blind to see. He hadn't made the lame to walk or fed 5,000 with a few pieces of bread and a few fishes. But every place our Lord and Savior went, he went for a purpose and he went for a plan. We find in the Gospel of John, it records 7 miracles. John calls them signs. He said they're signs, they're miracles, they're things that we look at, but it points to something greater. In John chapter 20, verse 30, John writes, "And many other signs, miracles, wonders, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these, this morning, this sign, this miracle is written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. We find this morning this is the first miracle that Jesus Christ ever performed in his earthly ministry. And this first miracle, as we read in verse number 11, it made believers out of these six disciples. The Bible says in verse 11, and his disciples believed on him. They believed on him because of this first miracle he performed in his presence. We say that John, that's the reason that the Gospel of John was giving to you and I, is that you and I can believe that Jesus is who he said he really was. That he's the darling Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. We know in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew wrote mainly to the Jews, his fellow Jews. And he wrote that this one named Jesus Christ, he is the coming King, the coming Messiah. He would be King Jesus, and he fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. We know Mark, he wrote mainly to the Romans, and he presented Jesus as a servant, a suffering servant, a servant that would come and die on an old rugged cross, and he would suffer and take the sins of this world on his behalf for you and I. We know that Luke wrote primarily to those Greeks, the intellects of those days, and he presents Jesus as the Son of Man. We find that in the very first chapter of Luke, where Luke writes that the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man, but we come to the Gospel of John and he presents Jesus as the Son of God. The Son of God. And Luke or John writes these seven miracles, these seven signs to show us that we can believe, just like the disciples believe, that Jesus is who he said he really was. These seven signs, these seven miracles, these seven wonders are written that we know that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And I find it interesting this morning that Luke or John also refers to Jesus seven times as the eternal God. It's like he's tying these miracles and these seven names of Christ to believe that you and I can believe that he is truly the Son of God. It's a grace miracle. A God that would leave the splendors of heaven, the beauty of heaven, the wonders and the majesty of heaven, and he would come and die on an old rugged cross. He would shed his blood. He would take upon the sins of the world and become sin for you and for me. It's a miracle of grace. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. We find this first miracle, it's a miracle of grace. Moses performed his first miracle there in Egypt in front of Pharaoh, and he turned the waters of Egypt into blood. It's a picture of judgment and the judgment of God that would come upon that land. But this miracle, Jesus' first miracle, pictures grace. He takes something that's empty, something that's dry, something that's parched, something that's dead, and he brings forth wine, a picture of joy. And I want to say this morning, because of God's grace, you and I can have joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a picture of grace, a miracle of grace. And he performed this miracle in front of those in the land of Canaan, in front of the wedding guests, in front of his disciples, so they would believe that he is the Son of God. But by doing this in verse number 11, the Bible says, this beginning of the miracles did Jesus in the Canaan of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. He manifested his glory. He made his glory known. He made his glory shown. The disciples experienced, they received, they saw the glory of this one by the name of Jesus. This morning I'm interested in that glory. I'm interested in how do we experience his glory? How do we experience his presence in our very midst, in our daily lives? How in our lives, how much would it be different if we lived in His glory? How would our families be changed if we experienced and lived in His glory? How would our Baptist churches once again be powerful and be prosperous if we could experience His glory? If we could only experience and live in His glory day by day. I'm interested in His glory this morning. I'm interested in us seeing His glory and experiencing His glory and receiving the glory of Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God. I want to preach on the thought for just a few minutes this morning. Show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. I'm interested in this text on why was it that Christ manifested? Why did He bring forth? Why did He show His glory to His disciples? I'll submit to you, number one, to get His glory, to manifest His glory, to see His glory, to experience His glory, to have His glory upon our lives and our families and our churches. Number one, there must be a emptying daily. We must empty ourselves on a daily basis, a constant, a moment by moment emptying of ourselves. Notice our Lord, He does not manifest His glory. He does not show His glory. He does not tell of His majesty and His glory until there's nothing else left. We see in our text, there's six water pots. Six water pots of stone, the number of six, the number of man. It represents you and I. It represents man's sinful nature, Adamic nature. And we see that these water pots, it says they were two or three firkins apiece. Each water pot would have held approximately 20 gallons. 120 gallons of emptiness, 120 gallons of nothing, 120 gallons of something that's poured out. There's nothing left. We find in our text there's no wine, there's no picture of joy, there's no happiness, there's no fulfillment. It's empty. Everything's been poured out. Everything is dry and parched. I see that our wedding guest and these wedding party and society had taken and they had received and they had consumed everything that was I have to offer, and now all that's left is six empty water pots. No wine, no joy. The wedding party had nothing else to give. They had nothing else to offer. They had given everything they had. And I want to submit to you this morning, young people, this world will offer its best, as we see in our text, to you the first. They'll offer you everything the world has to offer, the good things, the pleasurable things, the things that'll bring you a temporary joy, and there is pleasure in sin only for a season. But I'll submit to you this morning, that will soon run out. That will soon, their substance cannot be regained. That substance cannot be inherited once again. And this one we're reading about this morning, Jesus Christ, when we empty ourselves, He will fulfill. He will give that thing that's ever new. He will give that thing that's ever satisfying. He will give that thing that is eternal. These water pots were empty, and Jesus Christ could not bring forth His glory until they were empty. We have to empty ourselves this morning. Empty ourselves on a daily basis. Empty ourselves of self and of sin and our own selfish desires. These water pots, they were used for external cleansing. They were used for external daily ceremonial cleansings. And we find that this outward joy, this outward cleansing was only temporary. Verse 2, the Bible says that Mary proclaims, Mary makes it known, Mary states, they have no wine. All the joy, all the happiness, all the good things are gone and nowhere to be found. How about you this morning? As you come into the house of God, what are you full of? What is it that's inside of you that God wants to show forth His glory? God wants to let you experience His presence and experience His power and experience His glory, but we're full of something. We find, she says, they have no wine. When we empty ourselves, When we empty these vessels, when we empty these bodies, when we empty our mind of nothing more, Jesus Christ then can bring fullness when there's emptiness. He can bring joy when there's disappointment. He can give eternal satisfaction that which once was just external. We need to empty ourselves this morning. And emptiness daily. The primitives sang the very song where I'm standing here several months ago. This song states, Lord, would you empty me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee? Now shine down upon me and fill me anew in every way, Lord. Let me be more like you. If we want to experience God's presence, God's power, God's influence, God's guiding, God's glory in our lives, we must, number one, empty ourselves. These Jewish wedding feasts, they tell me they were unlike wedding feasts that we were accustomed to. You see, if there's a wedding today, we may have a rehearsal dinner the night before and then have the wedding and then have a reception. But these wedding feasts, they would last for 7 days. 7 days of happiness. 7 days of excitement. 7 days of joy. 7 days of good wine that would bring forth joy. But now, perhaps the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh day, there's no wine, no joy, no happiness. I wrote that it may be an embarrassing place to be. Could you imagine running out of food, running out of drink, running out of the things that your wedding party is looking forward to? Not only would this have been a costly mistake, it would have been an embarrassing mistake, but they tell me that wedding parties could actually have been fined in those days for running out of food or water or wine. This morning, it'll cost you and I if we don't experience our glory. It'll cost you and I if we don't experience His power and His presence. You may have come in the sanctuary this morning and you feel like on the inside of you, you've been poured out. You're empty. You have nothing else to give. The trials of this world, the problems of this world, the dark nights that you've experienced, those things that you've went through time and time again has left you dry and empty. And I just want to encourage you this morning, that's a good place to be. When we empty ourselves, then the God of all glory can fill us and bring forth His glory. Are you drained this morning? Not until these water pots were empty. Not until these vessels were made empty could God bring forth His glory. Could He make it known? We need to empty ourselves daily. Number two, we need to have an earnest desire to see His glory. An earnest desire. Look at verse number 5. Verse 5, Mary, His mother, says unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And there set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots. And they filled them up to the brim. I notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, and when they wanted wine. There was a want at this wedding party. There was a desire, something they were in need of, something they were lacking, something that was not there and they had an earnest desire for. You see, they wanted at this wedding feast. They were in want. They were needing. Stuff had been provided. Things have been given and things have been prepared for, but now it's empty. Now it's nowhere to be found. And they were in want. You know, you and I, we've had the privilege and have the privilege of living in the greatest land this world has ever known. We have the privilege this morning to be citizens of the United States of America. And because of you and I are citizens, things have been provided for us. People have given and people have sacrificed. We sit here this morning with freedom. We sit here this morning with opportunities. We sit here this morning from safety, from just being a citizen of the United States of America. However, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He has given us so many opportunities. He's provided for us so many things. He's given us physical and mental abilities to go and to work and to perform and to make money and earn a living, to make ourselves more comfortable. Much has been given on His behalf. Much has been supplied, and He's blessed me, and He's supplied so long. God's blessed this land, blessed our families. He's been good to me. He's been good to you. He's been good to this church. He's been good to our nations and our communities. He's blessed and given and supplied and filled. But we're in need of something more. We're in need of something greater. We're in need of something that's more powerful than these physical blessings God has given us. And that is His manifested glory. The wedding party wanted. They desired. They yearned for. They had a longing for. There was no more wine and they were in a great need. It's an intense need. It's almost the want, the desire. It implies it's almost to the point of desperation. This morning, what is it we desire? What is it we're longing for? What is it that we're yearning for, or we have an earnest desire for? Do we come to church this morning just to fulfill man's self-need of religious gratification? Do we come to church wanting and desiring things opposite than His glory in our lives? His glory of His blessings, the glory of His holiness, this one that's holy and harmless, that's undefiled and made higher than the angels? Do we desire the glory of His grace? Do we desire the glory of His compassion? Do we desire the glory of His power, as we see here in the text? Psalms 145:19, the Bible states, "I will fulfill their desire that fear Him. He will also hear their cry." We see that Mary, she brings forth this need. They have no wine. They wanted wine. And we see all Mary does is make it known. If we have a desire this morning, no greater place than the house of God is to make it known. The Bible states in John 16, verse 24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in My name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." They wanted. They had an eager desire. They had a want. They had a need. And all they had to do was ask. An emptying daily. An earnest desire they had to see God move. I see number three, their eagerness to perform some duties. Notice verse number 7. It says, "Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots, and they filled them to the brim." There was an eagerness. Jesus didn't have to beg them. He didn't have to prod them. He didn't have to pray and beseech them. He just said, "Fill the water pots." And we see they had an eagerness to perform that duty. There's no wine. There's no joy. There's no happiness. All God had, all Jesus had, was some empty water pots and some willing servants. He didn't need these servants. He doesn't need you and I this morning. Their efforts, our efforts, many efforts, your efforts, they will be completely insufficient for God's duties. But because of their obedience, because of their eagerness, because of their desire, they shared in the glory and the joy of this miracle. He knows this morning, if you and I, if we share in the miracle, we'll share in the blessings. Could it be the reason so many of us don't experience and share the blessings? The reason so many of us don't experience and share the joy, we don't experience and share the excitement of things that God is doing, is because there's no eagerness and there's no desire on our parts. These servants, the Bible says, filled them to the brim. They experienced God's miracle to the fullest. Can you imagine if they would have been lazy? If they would have been complacent? If they'd only filled the water pots half full, they would have just experienced half the blessings. I want to encourage you this morning, church. Let's give our best to God. Let's give our all to God. Let's give our everything to God, to the one that gave himself for you and I. He longs for our service. They turned the water into wine. He longs for their service. They helped him feed the 5,000. He longs for our service. They helped him in healing a man that was born blind. God longs for our service. They helped him in raising Lazarus. And if we just fill water pots, maybe we just pass out bread, or maybe we just wash some mud from some eyes, or maybe we just help him roll the stone away. If we have an eagerness to perform his duties, what a blessing we will get when we see his manifested glory. Filling the water pots to the brim. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. Not only do we see we need to empty ourselves daily, not only do we see that there should be a eagerness desire and we should have a yearning to perform his duties, I see also that we should have a expectant dependence upon him. Notice what he says. He says, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear out. This took faith upon their part. Faith. They've never seen Jesus perform a miracle. They've never witnessed his power. They've never witnessed his glory. And he just says, fill the pots up to the with water and bear out and give to the governor of the feast. Can you imagine their faith? As they brought these pots that was used for cleansing and ceremonial traditions, they filled them with water and then they just began to bear out, to pour out to the master or the governor of the feast. It took faith on their behalf. They've never experienced Jesus in this manner before. They've never seen him perform miracles. They've never seen his power and his glory. But how about us? We've experienced his goodness. We've experienced his compassion. We've experienced his mercy. We've experienced his power. We've experienced of knowing what it's like to have the God of all glory save our souls and live inside of us. He's been good to us. And we should not this morning have a dependence upon the God of all glory. He's been faithful before, and he'll be faithful again. He's come through time and time again on our behalf. We should have an expectant dependence upon him. Kyle Rowland sang this last week. Will there be a next time when I need some mercy? Will grace be sufficient? How will I know? The next time my heart is broken, will there be some mending? Well, I have a promise that tells me so. I'll just go back to the moment that he saved me. I'll just go back to every prayer he's answered for me. I don't have to worry about my next blessing, because the past is a promise, and that's all I'll need. We have some past miracles that God performed in our lives. He's been good to us. He's performed. He's come through time and time again, and we can rely and expect on his dependency this morning. He's saved us. He's delivered us. He's provided for us. He's protected us. He's fed us. He's kept us. He's blessed us. He's coming back for us. And we can expect that and depend upon that on him time and time again. In Exodus, Aaron and the children of Egypt, or children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness and they saw the glory of God in a cloud. Moses, he said, I beseech. He's saying, I beg, I plead. Show me thy glory. And God placed him in the cliff. He said, Moses, there's a place beside me. And he shows him his glory, but he has to cover him with his hand. Solomon, he built the temple of God. He dedicated it to God. And he prayed to God. And the Bible says when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. In heaven now, there's a place called New Jerusalem. In Revelations chapter 21, the Bible said that city has no need of the sun, neither moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We need His glory this morning. We need God to manifest and to show forth and to consume our presence with His glory. We need to experience and live in His glory. Our young people need to experience His glory. And if we're going to experience His glory, church, I'll submit to you, we have to empty ourselves. There has to be an earnest desire on our part. There has to be an eagerness to work and to perform His duties. And we need to have faith and have an expectant dependence on this one named Jesus Christ. Do you want to see His glory this morning? We see in verse number 11, Jesus Christ performed this miracle because His disciples believed on Him and manifested forth His glory. Let us all stand this morning. God, show us Thy glory. Misty, do you have a song on your heart, sister? Father, we want to thank You this morning for the Word of God. We want to thank You this morning for Your past promises. We want to thank You, God, for all that You've done for us time and time and time again. Lord, we realize You've provided and You've given and You've supplied and You've filled. But Lord, we're in need of something greater. Father, we need to see Your glory. We need to experience Your power and Your glory. And God, I pray that You would do that, that only You can do, that You would draw ourselves to You. We could empty ourselves and have an earnest desire to seek You and a desire to see Your glory and a desire to perform Your duties. God, we need You this morning. You know the hearts of Your people. God, I pray there'd be an emptying this morning of sin and of self and of selfishness. Lord, have Your way. Help us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Show us Your glory, Lord, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This altar is open. Whatever your need is, do you want to see His glory this morning? The glory in your life, the glory in your family, the glory in this church. One more time. Whatever your need is, this altar is open.
Sometimes I must be a nail in His hands, and sometimes a thorn on His brow. Why He should love me, I can't understand, but He's even blessing for the sweet by.
My, how we need His glory. The glory of the only begotten Son. We want to thank Him for His presence this morning. Thank you for being here. We'll ask our pastor to come and he'll dismiss the service.
Thank you, Brother Gunn, for the message. Thank the Lord for the blessings. Won't reveal His glory, but He needs you to empty yourself. Well, a wonderful message. We appreciate that. Thank you for coming. Don't forget service tonight. Still be the youth tonight, so let's pray for them. Just a great service this morning, and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, that You want, You desire to manifest Your glory unto us earthen vessels. There must be an emptying, a willingness to let You perform that miracle in our life by touching us, by using us, by filling us, transforming us into Your image. And we thank You, Father. Forgive our sins. Heal our nation. Help us to be more like You. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. And thank You for coming.